Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, I'm Otle. From Africa, I'm here. The beautiful African. He is related. Fasilarona, the land is ours. Shangolasho, Tikorahina. Africa, the question is, and the question was always, the struggle for liberation. Benkululeko, meaning Tokoloho. The struggle for liberation, what kind of animal it will give birth to? Izozalankomone, itilokotalang. You can ask again, Africa, 22 years after the first black vote. We know now what kind of a political animal you voted to give birth to. It's clear. Everybody can see, even the world can see. And particularly the African world can see, Africa, and notice the giveaways. You know, we're at the stage where the black insurgency is moving forward. Africans are moving forward globally. And you look at the situation in Tanzania, a giveaway. To paraphrase, the African is in 1959, because they could foretell this. They said that our political brethren are portfolio people. These are people interested place of the Nationalist Party. Only interested to take the place of the Nationalist Party. And to quote the premier Africanist, Mangalusa Robert Sobukwe, the founder, the PAC founder president, he said that to the ANC leadership, the present nationalist government is a properly elected government of South Africa whose policies the ANC does not approve of. And the ANC main struggle is to get the net out of power, period. No, so this government of ours, this our black government, is displaying the classic symptoms, the classic syndrome of a people and a government suffering a splintered consciousness and a shattered identity. Or a shattered identity and a splintered consciousness. Either way, paraphrase Dr. Leonard Jeffries. And one intriguing, you know, this one has got to go back to it. The United Nations Convention that was adopted July 8, 1976. It is the International Convention on the Suppression and Punishment of the Crime of Apartheid. Now, the state parties in Africa, the signatories to this convention, which was also adopted by the world. It was not the small onion thing. It was adopted globally and as a matter of law. And even today, in Africa, you have the right to protect where the UN can go in to save lives of innocent people if innocent people are endangered. Now, this one here has had much weight. And Africa, to go deeper into the convention, let's go through it. For the purpose of the present convention, that is to quote, the term the crime of apartheid, which shall include similar policies and practices of racial segregation and discrimination as practiced in Southern Africa, shall apply to the following inhuman acts committed for the purpose of establishing and maintaining domination by one racial group of persons over any other racial group of persons and systematically oppressing them. It goes on to quote Africa, for example, by murder of members of a racial group or groups, by arbitrary arrest and illegal imprisonment of the members of a racial group or groups, deliberate imposition on a racial group or groups of living conditions calculated to cause its or their physical destruction in whole or in part. Any measure, number D, any measures, including legislative measures designed to divide the population along racial lines by creation of separate reserves and ghettos for the members of the racial group or groups. Very important in Africa, the expropriation of land, of landed property belonging to a racial group or groups or members thereof. Goes on to say, number F, Africa, persecution of organizations and persons by depriving them of fundamental rights and freedoms because they oppose apartheid. That happened in Africa. But it goes to Article 3 in Africa. Very important. International criminal responsibility shall apply, irrespective of the motive involved, to individuals, members of the organizations, and institutions and representatives of state, whether residing in the territory of the state in which the acts are perpetrated or in some other state, whenever they commit, participate in, directly, incite, or conspire in the commission of the acts mentioned in the Article 2 of the present convention. Number B, directly abet, encourage, or cooperate in the commission of the crime of apartheid. And it goes on to Article 6, Africa. Persons charged with the acts enumerated in Article 2 of the present convention may be tried by a competent tribunal of any state party to the convention, which may acquire jurisdiction over the person of the accused, or by an international panel tribunal having jurisdiction with respect to those state parties which shall have accepted its jurisdiction. And Article 6, Africa, the state parties to the present convention undertake to accept and carry out, in accordance with the Charter of the United Nations, the decisions taken by the Security Council aimed at prevention, suppression, and punishment of the crime of apartheid, and to cooperate in the implementation of decisions adopted by other competent organs of the United Nations with a view to achieving the purposes of the convention. And Article 8, Africa, any state party to the present convention may call upon any competent organs of the United Nations, again, Africa, to take action under the Charter of the United Nations as it considers appropriate for the prevention and suppression of apartheid. Now, Africa, we go back to what the Africanists were saying, that to our brethren, they were interested to take the place of the Nationalist Party. That's why in Africa, you ask a question, you say, wow, the convention in Africa was binding. And if any at all, what the government, African government should have said is, no, man, we can't, this is a convention, it is stated. So go back to the United Nations if you want us to do anything, but you've been charged for crimes against humanity. And guess what, Africa? 1994, South Africa was the first, Africa, was the first to sign the international, to ratify the International Criminal Court. Now, this court was founded after apartheid collapsed. And to some of us, you're saying that, okay, fine. It was not found during apartheid, and the West and African countries did not ratify the Convention for the Punishment and Suppression of Apartheid. Now they're coming up with this ICC, International Criminal Court. It means that it's meant for the black folks. It is meant for us. Because now if you're going to oppress, take retribution against the minority groups, then they will be there to protect their own people. In Africa, the question here is that as a people, how could this happen? How could we get... It was given away, the crimes were given away of apartheid. Because why? Expunged. Because our brethren wanted to take the position of the Nationalist Party. And the ICC goes, Africa, 2002. Now, that's after 1994, the elections and so on. The crime of apartheid is defined by the 2002 Rome Statute of International Criminal Court as inhuman acts of a character similar to other crimes against humanity, committed in the context of an institutionalized regime of systematic oppression and domination by one racial group over any other racial group or groups, and committed with the intention of maintaining that regime. How could we miss church? Why, my friend? As you know, my Africa, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, we came up with it from nowhere. But the majority, there was no referendum. There was no consent. There was no mandate by the victims of apartheid to do away with the crimes of apartheid. No. So what Truth and Reconciliation Commission did was to undo the convention, of course, international law. They just got rid of that. And Africa, from apartheid, slavery to colonialism, the white nation were never punished and charged or prosecuted for the murder and killing of so-called Negroes or people of African descent. Never. And the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, what it did was it perpetuated that injustice on a global scale, Africa, that the white race shall never be prosecuted for the inhuman crimes against the black race, even when it was written down. But we can't blame nobody. We blame our own people, the brethren. So, Africa, the black race, as a people, we have a singular obligation to prosecute crimes of inhumanity against people of African descent, including apartheid crimes. They have to be prosecuted. We never consented to this. And to think of it, Africa, our brethren were paid cash, given trinkets, given houses. They were paid for giving up some of, wallowing in this injustice. Africa. Let's look at the reverse of the coin, because this Pan-Africanist Congress was one of the, we had the observer status of the United Nations. In fact, the PAC, after the Sharpeville massacre, is the one that pushed to get the apartheid ban the apartheid regime out of the United Nations. That's how the observer status was given to the liberation movement. But later in years, it is our brethren again who pushed through the Russians, pushed the United Nations to get rid of us, because they were calling themselves the only authentic liberation movement, the only authentic representative of the people of South Africa. And you look at the issue of the conventions now. You expunged the crimes against humanity. You didn't talk to us, nothing. And let's look, Mafrika. There's this Eugene de Kock. De Kock, Mafrika, was sentenced in 1996 to life sentences. Two life sentences for six murders and an additional 212 years of charges ranging from attempted murder to kidnapping and fraud. Now, he was an apartheid agent, apartheid police, those who were killing our people, all right? But because of Truth and Reconciliation Commission, some of them would go in front of the commission and just confess. Many did not. They justified, we're not going to go, this concept of, okay, these are niggers, these are kafirs. We're not going to, just confess in front of Negroes or kafirs. No, we won't do that. Because they still see themselves as the superior, supremacist race. But you did not charge them. And still, you got rid of the international convention. Of course, you did not have the locus standi. You did not have the right to do that. So we still can pursue the crimes against apartheid. And Mafrika, for this Eugene de Kock, all right, he was paroled, Mafrika, to call the Minister of Justice, in the interest of reconciliation and nation building, I have placed Mr. de Kock on parole. After he spent about almost 20 years. Now, you have forces of liberation, black men that stood up and fought against the crime against humanity that was declared under the international law. More than 100 of them, Africa, are still in jail as we speak. These are cadres of the Pan-Africanist Congress, the Azanian People's Liberation Army, which was also recognized by the United Nations, by the way. Now, these are combatants in jail. Since the Black Boy, 22 years, that is, the black government just adopted them from the jails under apartheid and switched them into this one. And they have been there in Africa, but they fought against a crime against humanity. Something is wrong in the head, Mafrika. in the thinking of this black government. Something is wrong. But it reinforces again the ghost of white supremacy, that the white race is never punished for the crimes against the blacks, but the blacks have to be prosecuted for the crimes against the white race. That's exactly what it is, what it means. And now Africa, the PAC, the Pan-Africanist Congress, happened to have gotten 0.4% in one area, Ekurhuleni. Because the government wants to form a coalition government, they are saying to the government, okay, you get our one vote, release our political prisoners. Release our political prisoners. And that discussions are going on. We don't know if they will do it. But North Africa, again, it reflects on us as a people. The devastated, shattered consciousness, and splintered identity. The damage is too deep. The damage is too deep, Africa. That's why we are asking, Iyozala inkomoni, what kind of a black government, what kind of is it going to give to you? And we know 22 years after the fact that it has given us this kind of animal. Portfolio people that love positions, love good things, love trinkets. Some of them are billionaires. They can go and buy a buffalo for 80 million rands. Africa. According to the convention itself, the expropriation of land, that property belonging to a racial group or groups or to members thereof was illegal under the convention for the punishment and suppression of apartheid. Now, 22 years after the fact, this is how our black government comes back to us. They were campaigning, complaining that the land was stolen. And that is the reason why the African majority today, 22 years after the first black vote, suffer inequality. That's a mental case, government. It's a problem. The government is suffering a mental case. We voted you into power. You said you are the authentic speaker, authentic liberation movement. 22 years you come and tell us that the land has been stolen? And even the United Nations Convention refers to that. You failed to dispossess, expropriate the stolen land. It's a joke. It's a joke, my friend. But the convention goes on to say that a policy designed to divide the population along racial lines by creation of separate reserves and ghettos for the members of a racial group or groups. My friend, we've had Bantustans as separate, segregated black labor reservoirs. And now you take over government, you form provinces along the racial, tribal, segregated groups. And in those provinces, Africa, you let racially based segregated communities to vote as a race group, to vote as race group, separate. White votes for white parties, colored for white parties, black vote for the vote along the tribal and regional lines. That's what you have, my friend. Why not get rid of the, why did you put up the provinces? Why not splinter these communities and gerrymander them so that you don't have a completely white, a completely colored, a completely Indian community? Because why? We fought to liberate that country. We are the majority. We are the owners. We are the owners. All right? But we protect the individual. We guarantee the individual, not groups. And we protect your fundamental rights, human rights, because we've learned. But you can't have people, groups, communities separated according to racial groups. You can't have that. Get rid of the provinces. And Africa, to quote one of the premier Africanism Africa, he says that democratic struggle or a struggle for democracy essentially a recognition of numbers. A national struggle, meaning the national liberation struggle, is a struggle for recognition of heritage. And the African, he goes on to say that the Africans are fortunate, in a fortunate position of being not only the rightful owners of the land, but also the majority of the population. Our struggle, therefore, is democratic, involving as it does the dispossessed majority against the privileged minority. Now, 22 years after the fact, in Africa, we have a Bretonnier there. They just want to take positions, the portfolio, take the positions of the Nationalist Party. Happy. Now, the chickens are coming home to roost. They are losing because they can't deliver. And they discover now. Now, voting system is unfair. And we've been saying, in Africa, this proportional system that was meant to protect the minority was made to counter and upset the natural principle of voting numbers and heritage. It's artificial, my friend, to have the whites vote as a racial group and they vote in alliance with other groups, let's say the colored and the Indians, who many of them harbor anti-black bias and hate and will never vote for a black party. Why allow voting discrimination and the prejudices to continue under majority rule? Why do you do that? Why? Multiracialism. You can howl as much as about non-racialism. You always copied what the Africanists were saying. You can't have non-racialism when people vote according to groups and territoriality. So we are calling for one man, one vote in Africa. One man, one vote should mean one man, one vote. You simply count the number of the vote the people gave to you. You rule, even with less than 50%. What is this 50.1% rule, which is artificial? It's a makeup. Does not reflect, and it is not according to the vote. The horse trade in Africa, the coalition politics, simply dilutes and compromises the vote, gives smaller parties power disproportionate to the number of votes. Now, we're not referring to the black parties. It helps to a great extent. It has helped to shake up this majority party. In fact, they're going to lose. But with regard to people that vote along the racial lines, it is still a problem, Africa, because why? It does not get rid of the protection of the minority and the power they gained under apartheid, which was a crime against humanity. So we need a vote that is based on simple majority. That's it, Mafika. You look at... Let's look at the recent elections, Mafika. The ANC in Nelson Mandela Bay got 36. It won 36 out of 60 wards. But in the end, Mafika, the other party, Democratic Alliance, got 46.7% of the vote, while the ANC mustered only 40.9%, translating into 57 votes. Now, how do you win 39 wards out of 60? And you end up being a minority. You lose. How? To quote one minority party member, candidate, he said that, look, these smaller white parties, they put up candidates even in wards where these candidates do not stand a chance. They might get a few extra votes that would boost their total in a municipality. So even when they know that they're going to go, they put put a name, even if there's a candidate is not there, and somebody votes, two or three votes, and that's how they come in. That's how they come in. So in Africa, and back in 2004, it is reported that this our black government was told that, look, change this system, voting system, change it. But they rejected the changes to an electoral system because, well, to them, you know, it's like portfolio people. They rule by rear view mirror, emergency government. They rule by emergency, like an ambulance. They wait until you get sick, almost die, then they come and save you. That's how they're waking up to this proportional system, Africa. And the demarcation boards. The demarcation board, Africa, it is made of appointed bureaucrats. The executive, the president's office appoints. They are not responsible to parliament. They are not responsible to anybody. They are an entity themselves, demarcation board. And Africa, this board here has left white and minority communities to vote as racial groups. They have never heard since these minority groups complaining that the demarcation board has come in, blah, blah, blah. But what it does, it splits, it splices, it moves, and it changes voting districts and boundaries only to benefit. When it comes to the black communities, it does that only to benefit and strengthen the support of the governing party. It has been doing that for 22 years. And it does the same to break up and split districts that do not support. And shocking and unbelievable, Africa, unbelievable. This our black government, through its democracy, this bureaucrat, unelected bureaucrats, it sought to dilute and break up black rural voting districts under traditional chiefs and kings. And moving communities from one tribal district community to the next. And by that, undermining centuries of the traditional chiefs and kings, communities that have lived peacefully, even along the tribal lines. You might have the vendor, you might have the paddy, you might have this. They've lived peacefully. But you have this, our black government, they mess up with black communities because why they... You talk about confusion, Africa. Splintered identity. Professor Amos Wilson was saying that we must be suffering a deception as a people to suffer, have so much, but suffer so much. In Africa, this community is Africa. King Mushashwa, Obasutu, Sikukuni, Obapidi, Makado, and Pepe of Bavenda, King Siligas, Sandile Makoba and Palo, King Hinta, King Lambe. These, they resisted apartheid occupation. They resisted the inventions as early as 1652. And they've lived, we thank them because, partly because why we've survived as a people, because of the stand they took. But North Africa, why go after communities, especially traditional communities, want to split them? Huh? Because once you split the community, you split the chieftainship and you undermine the sovereignty of the chiefs. Why not work with them? Why? Why not strengthen their position in terms of democracy and guaranteeing the individual and human rights of all my Africans? So that they don't become despots and autocrats on our people, make our people suffer. But you go and undermine them and cause instability. Now we have Buyani, community of Buyani here. The people of Buyani, we're asking Africa. And this is according to tribal lines because we have the Ndebeles, we have the Shangans, definitely, but you want to take Buyani, part of Buyani, put it under the other tribal group. They said, no, you can't do that. And it is not reinforcing tribalism, but simply, people have rights, okay? So, the people of Vienna asked the government, he said, please, man, do not move us to Malamulele. We don't want to go to Malamulele. We want to go under the jurisdiction, Makado jurisdiction, that we have lived peacefully under. And they demanded Mafrika, but the government did not listen. And you know what happened? They destroyed, burnt 23 schools burned down. One person was dead. I think it's more than one. The children have lost school days from Africa, examination. Businesses have been closed from Africa or ceased to operate. And Africa, this black government, did not respond, Africa. And it is forced now to allow special municipal elections. That's your money. That's your money, Africa. So to my Africa, you get the government you vote for. And Africa, you own the vote. You can choose a majority government under one man, one vote. As you say, Africa, we guarantee you the individual, Africa. We guarantee your rights. You confess, Africa. We do not guarantee racial groups. And Africa, as you say, groups along tribal, regional, racial. We don't do that. And as we speak, my Africa, we've had another political killing. Huh? Husband and wife, in Solo, one of the hotbeds of the liberation struggle in the Eastern Cape, shot in front of children, small children, husband and wife killed, my friend. And we've had more than 13 killings. Councillors, more than 13 or 15 killed throughout the country. Let's bring back the spirit of Africanism. Bring back the spirit of consciousness. Let's bring back the spirit of self-identity. And these principles have been laid down. And the Africanist principles, my friend, are very clear on that. Very clear. So, it has been said in the past, and if you are going to have problems with Africa, look back. Try to find out what others were saying, especially the Africanists, and right there lies the solution. All we have to do in Africa is to claim our rights. We are protected by the international community. As you say, that even land, you can expropriate it under and nationalize it under the United Nations principles for the purposes of redressing and addressing past racial discrimination. We cannot continue in this way in Africa. Thank you, Africa, for the privilege of talking to you, and thanks for the privilege of listening.